some people to talk to about a different topic altogether. I want to speak to Richard Moore, who's from Children in Crossfire. Richard, good morning. I haven't spoken to you for a long time. Richard, how's the form?
That's right, Frank. I'm great, thank God. I no complaints at all. And obviously, it's always good to talk to you.
Yeah, Richard, you're doing something to improve mathematics. Now, people will be aware of you, Richard. You're a man who is blinded by a rubber bullet. You set up a charity. You are very good friends with the Dalai Lama. And indeed, you are good friends with the man who fired the rubber bullet from the British Army. That's me really condensing the story. And you run this cross-community Children in Crossfire initiative. How did you get involved in promoting mathematics?
That's a good quantum leap there, an excellent summary. Thank you very much, Frank. Children in Crossfire, I suppose, supports projects in Tanzania and Ethiopia, and our main focus is children under 8 years of age. And we try to provide access to proper health and also education for children living in remote villages in Tanzania and Ethiopia, and these children are among the poorest in the world, right? But so we're always trying to come up with new and novel ideas to, one, raise money for our work, and two, to also get people to engage with some of the issues. So this amazing guy called Franz Lingvine, who's based in Derry here, he came up with this idea about a math challenge where school children across the world can link on to Children in Crossfire, to a specific website, Children in Crossfire Math Challenge website, and register for this competition and take part, through their school, at primary school level, at secondary school level, at university level, enter this math competition, and then, in doing that, there'll be a lot of the equations which Franz, who's a mathematician expert, much better than me, can explain. But a lot of these equations and stuff that they're asked to engage with are, around global poverty issues. And then the schools will hopefully raise a few pounds to participate in the competition. So as well as children in our own schools being challenged and have something enjoyable around the whole area of maths, they're also raising money for a good cause.
It sounds like an excellent system for getting kids educated and getting them involved in something that is a plus for others. I want to speak to Franz, who's available to have a chat with us. Franz Schallenwein, who's, I think, Franz, even though you've got a heck of a German or Austrian name, you're very much a Derry man.
Hello, Frank. Good morning, and thanks for having us on here this morning. No, yes, we are born in Derry. My father was born here, even though, like, we're Schallenweins. We're the only Schallenweins on the island, but we're well diluted by now.
Yeah, it's a great name. It's spelled Schallenwein. The only one in the phone book.
That's it. We're the only people, 100%.
And how did you come up with this initiative, which is called Isaac 9? How does it work?
Well, I'm a former teacher in Derry here, Frank, as a secondary school teacher. But, we created this device, Isaac 9, and to be honest now, more than 40% of schools around the north already use this. And it allows kids to positively engage with maths, irrespective of their ability and preferred learning style. It's a physical set of cubes with online support from two robot characters who have a virtual set of the same cubes. And really what you want children to be able to do is to positively express themselves when they're trying to, build a relationship with maths, get opportunities to work collaboratively. It's really trying to create a change in mindset around how maths can be taught and learned, and giving children more profound learning experiences whereby they can actually enjoy mathematics and not treat it as a subject that's curricularly imposed upon them.
Is it possible to enjoy mathematics? See, my memory of maths is one of horror, absolute horror at school.
Well, funny, I was in the school yesterday and we went in, and the teacher, a phenomenal teacher, really, really, really nice school, St. Ethna's primary school here in Derry, and the kids were fantastic. And we asked them, you know, really now, before we start, I know you're enthusiastic about making a start here, but do any of you really not like or, you know, don't really, you know, are afraid of maths or any of that? Don't be afraid to tell me. So there's half a dozen of them put up their hand, and they had been working on adjectives in their English, and I said, right, give me an adjective that you would use to describe mathematics. And Frank, some of them were using the terminology that you've used: horrible, deadly, poisonous, frightening. And, you know, to actually see this in children's faces, so what we told them was that we're trying our best, you know, regardless of how good they go on to build a how well they build a relationship with mathematics, we want to eradicate these types of words when it comes to how people would want to describe maths. And also we have to eradicate the social acceptability of that, Frank. You know, to be honest, it's okay you coming on the radio thinking it's okay to say maths was horrible and I hated it, but nobody's coming on the radio to say I can't read or I can't spell or I hate English, you know. So this is something that really has to be dealt with kids at a young age.
But that's why guys like you as teachers or former teachers are so important. Because when I was at school, I had, you know, my memory of some of my maths teachers would be incredibly negative because I didn't understand what they were talking about and they didn't take any time to explain it to me any more than they explained it to the really good guy in the class who was excellent at maths. And that, I failed every maths exam until I was doing my O-level. And I happened to get a teacher during O-level who just like unlocked it all. He made it sound so simple. He was a man called Mick Farrell. He made it sound so easy. I used to go home to my mum and dad and say, this man's a genius. I understand everything he's saying to me. And I managed to get a C at GCSE, the first exam I ever passed in maths, because that teacher made it sound simple. So the teachers have to take a lot of responsibility because some people's brains can't comprehend what's going on mathematically.
Absolutely, absolutely, Frank. And to be honest, well done for passing your maths O-level at that time, because a lot of kids would have given in. And this is something else, too. We need to give kids opportunity to develop resilience, you know, to try and get them through these difficult patches. When they're faced with a challenging question and they find themselves down, you know, a blind alley or facing a one-way street, we need to give them the capacity and the belief to be able to turn that around and say, no, listen, I can't do this now, but I'm going to find a way whereby I can. And using the likes of Isaac Nine gives children the opportunity to collaborate with each other and, you know, to work in a way that can tease out a solution. But another aspect that has really, really been, you know, so rewarding for us, when you go back to look at how we designed this with the pupils in mind, teachers have highly engaged with this new material. Of those post-primary maths teachers in Belfast, for example, we surveyed them. The West Belfast Area Learning Community took on some of these Isaac 9 cubes as a project. And we asked them, does the use of Isaac 9 change your own relationship with mathematics? And 90% of them said yes. Now, these are already math teachers in secondary schools. The response from primary schools is 100%, so much so that every university in the country now actually uses cubes in some shape, form or fashion as part of their teacher training courses.
Well, it's good. Well, you know, listen, I am out of time on it for this morning, but it is good to hear that something that's been developed in Derry is now being used at a universal level and is also being used for fundraising also to help the children in the likes of Tanzania and Ethiopia. Franz and Richard, listen, thanks for making me feel good about my maths again, Franz. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Frank. You're welcome. Do you want a question for listeners from this quiz?
Go ahead. I'll write it down. Fire away.
Right. Catherine and Grace are two teenage sisters in Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
If the product of their ages is 208, what is the difference in their ages?
Oh, dear.
And Frank, schools can register on cacmathschallenge.com.
So if the product of their ages is 208...
Yep. And what is the difference in their ages?
So do you say they're teenage sisters?
They're teenage sisters.
So, you know, one of them has to be maybe closer to 13 and one of them's closer to 17. Am I right in believing, because again, this is me showing my ignorance here, is product when you multiply two numbers together?
Absolutely.
Right, I did learn that from McFarl, right. So, you see, this is where I would be completely hammered here. I wouldn't be able to start with 208 and work my way back to whichever two teenage numbers it is, because, you know, whichever teen numbers it is, it could be 17 and 13, it could be 16 by 14.
Yeah, but
I would be guessing. I wouldn't know how to impose a system on that would get the two for me.
But what you have done is you have realized that they're both teenagers, and that's part of your solution, so you have a starting point.
Yeah, well, you've told me they're teenagers. You need to be thick as champ to know that it's not going to be, you know, somewhere between 13 and 19.
Yeah, but for a child, they'd be thinking, they might not relate that to the actual solution to the question until they think, hold on a minute, these two numbers are represented by the ages of these children, and they must be in their teens.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
So even if you start with a guess, you will be able to use that. And once you work out, say if you tried 13 times 17, you would say, hold on a minute, this might be slightly off, and your next attempt could well be correct.
Is it 14 and 17?
Your first one was right.
Which one, 13 and 17?
So the 13's right. So look at
the 13. So because I thought when I said four sevens were 28, it might have been 14 and 17. So it's
right. So what kind of number is 13? Is 13
must
even
be
or
13
odd?
And 16? Is it?
Well done, Frank. Now see, there you are. You saying you thought that you couldn't do that?
But that's because I knew three sixes.
Well, there you are. But three sixes ends in an eight.
Yes.
These are all strategies, and this is what we try and get into children's heads.
I am now a genius, Franz. Thank you.
Absolute.
Cheers.
Move that C up to a B now, Frank. It'll be an A the next time I talk to you.
You've made me feel good about my maths, which is something I don't often say. Right, it's gone 11:30. Thank you to Richard. Thank you to Franz.